Again, if you would turn in your Bible to the Gospel of Mark chapter 16, we're going to read the entire chapter of Mark chapter 16, and I will, as usual, be reading from the New King James Version. And starting at verse 1, it reads, "Now when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, 'Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?' But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, 'Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they have laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you.'" Verse 8, "So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Now when he arose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. After that, he appeared in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later, he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, 'Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover.'" Verse 19, "So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through accompanying signs." Amen. May God bless the reading of his word. And we just want to focus on verses 9 through 12, which says, "Now when he arose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him as they mourned and wept. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. And after that, he appeared in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it to the rest, but they did not believe them either." And so we just want to, for a really short time this morning, focus on what we have read here using the one-word sermon title, Believe. Believe. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your spirit. And we know that it's by your word and by your spirit, Lord God, that we can receive what you have for us, Lord God, and take it and apply it to our daily lives. Help us, Lord God, to believe day by day, each and every day, to believe. Help us, Lord, to believe. To believe, Lord God, in you. To believe, Lord God, in the possibilities that you provide. To believe, Lord God, of the destiny or in the destiny that you have for us. To believe, Lord God, that you have sent your Son Jesus that we might have life and have it in abundance. To believe that though we may die in physical form, we will live eternally with you if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. That Lord God, we can believe in all of those things that you have available for us if we would just walk in the right path that you have laid for us, just believing and trusting in your word. So, Father God, help us to believe. We thank you, Lord God, for your word and the power of your word, and may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. A belief is something we consider to be a fact. A belief is anything we assume to be true. And one thing about our beliefs, they are the prism through which we see the world. Or in other words, you can say that we use our beliefs to understand and navigate this world. And what we believe determines if we consider something or someone to be good or bad, right or wrong, safe or dangerous. Beliefs are really formed either one or two ways, either number one, by our own experiences, or number two, by accepting as true what others have told us. And it really should be no surprise that many or most of our core beliefs are formed when we are children, and much of our adulthood involves either confirming or putting aside beliefs. The Apostle Paul was addressing beliefs when he wrote, "When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things." And just as that applied to Paul, it should apply to all of us. Because what we believe drives what we do. What we believe drives what we say. And behind every action someone consciously takes, there is something that they believe that drove them to take that action. Behind every word someone says, there is something they believe that drove them to say what they said. And belief works in matters great and in matters small. You know, for example, it is estimated that there are over 1 million alligators here in the state of Florida. And knowing that, I believe that there are more lakes in Florida with alligators than there are more lakes without them. So because of that belief, I just choose not to swim in random freshwater lakes in Florida. It's because of what I have gained over the years and what I have come to believe. And we're focused this morning on belief, and that's an example of belief. One thing about belief that's interesting to me is that belief really is what makes the invisible become visible. Belief really is what makes the impossible become possible. Belief really is what makes a way out of no way. Belief is what takes nothing and turns it into something. And let's just use a practical example. For example, if you have a job working 40 hours a week, it was your belief that you will see a direct deposit from your employer of your paycheck into your checking account, either at the end of that week or every 2 weeks or twice a month or once a month. But it was your belief that caused you to give those 40 hours. It was that belief that that direct deposit will hit your checking account that caused your action to work all those hours. And it was that belief that drove you to work those 40 hours, which made that paycheck, which was before invisible, that made that paycheck visible and tangible. So that's an example of how belief controls so many aspects of our lives. In fact, belief controls every aspect of our lives. What you believe about money determines how you handle it. What you believe about marriage determines how you approach it. What you believe about yourself and your abilities determines how you live your life. It starts with what we believe. And one thing that we can come to learn about life is that if something is not right about a situation in our lives, it does not help to first look at what we must do to correct that situation. It really does help to stop and look first at what we believe about the situation. Because if what we believe is faulty, then what we are doing or will do may be faulty as well. Jesus recognized that if his work was going to mean anything, he was going to have to get to mankind's belief, what mankind believed. His earthly ministry would need to impact what those who were apart from him believed. Now, Jesus, he knew what he believed. And because of what Jesus believed, he undertook certain actions. But his actions were not to influence or shape what he believed, but his actions were to influence and shape what we believed. And because our actions are formed either by our own experiences or what someone told us, the Bible says that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. And he went about doing good, healing everyone who was oppressed by the devil. Jesus did all of this to shape what we believed about him. At a wedding in Cana, when the wine ran out, Jesus told the servants to fill 6 stone pots with water and instantaneously turn the water into high-quality wine. It was because Jesus came to shape what we believed about him. By the pool of Bethesda at the temple in Jerusalem, Jesus saw a man who had been disabled for 38 years. And Jesus asked the man, "Do you want to be well?" And then commanded him, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk." It did not matter that the man had been disabled for 38 years. When Jesus said, "Walk," the disabled man walked. It was because Jesus came to shape what we believed about him. Jesus, he fed a crowd of over 5,000 people with 5 small loaves and 2 fish. In fact, before Jesus did it, one of the disciples, the disciple Andrew, dismissed the 5 loaves and 2 fish. He said, "How could so little feed so many?" The math didn't add up to Andrew, but lack never limited Jesus' ability. It was because Jesus came to shape what we believed about him. When the disciples were out on the Sea of Galilee and they were on board of a ship and a strong wind stirred up the sea and the terrified disciples strained at the oars to make it to the shore, Jesus walked on water and calmed the storm. It was because Jesus came to shape what we believed about him. And when his friend Lazarus died, Lazarus' 2 sisters were devastated. They believed that although Jesus had arrived days afterward, that it was too late for Lazarus. However, Jesus transformed what they deemed impossible into the perfect opportunity to glorify God by bringing Lazarus back to life, because Jesus came to shape what we believed about him. Now, I gave some examples there, and for all of those examples, these problems seem too great to overcome. But what is impossible for people is possible for God. And Jesus came to shape what they believed about him, and for them to go, and based on their experience, based on what they had been told and had seen and heard, to shape what we believed. For us, if we would only believe their word, for us then to go and tell it to someone else. That brings us really to our text here this morning. Mark 16, it begins with the discovery of the empty tomb by Mary Magdalene and the mother of James and Salome. The women, they had wandered on their way to the tomb about how they would remove the stone that was over the tomb. But upon their arrival, the women found the stone already rolled away. And so they looked into the tomb, and there they encountered a young man who was dressed in white who announced the resurrection of Jesus. The Bible says here in verse 10 that the women went to the other disciples and told them what they had experienced, yet the disciples did not believe. The Bible says in verse 12 and 13 that Jesus appeared to another 2 disciples, and that afterward they also went to the other disciples and told them what they had experienced, yet the disciples did not believe. After all they had seen Jesus do over the past 3 plus years, after they saw Jesus raise Lazarus, after they saw Jesus feed the thousands, after they saw Jesus calm the storm, after they saw Jesus turn water into wine, after all they had seen Jesus do over 3 years, they still did not believe. You know, I thought about how Jesus could have handled this, all of this. You know, Jesus could have quietly risen from the dead and went back to glory without appearing to anyone. But Jesus was enlisting witnesses to what was happening. And Jesus wanted to use these witnesses to shape what we believed. If we would only believe their word once they believed and once they gave the word, then we could share that same word with others. And that really is the point of this message this morning. What we believe determines really what we achieve. By the last verse in Mark chapter 16, verse 20, the disciples, they went out and preached everywhere, the word working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. That was at that last verse in verse 20. But for them to get to that point, there was something that they needed to believe. The disciples needed to believe that the same Jesus who turned water into wine could rise from the dead. They needed to believe that the same Jesus that made the disabled walk, the blind see, and the deaf hear, that he was the same Jesus who could overcome death. The disciples needed to believe that the same Jesus who could raise Lazarus from the dead could also rise from the dead himself. They needed to believe that nothing was impossible to him that believes. Because once they believed that, that propelled them to go out by verse 20 and preach everywhere. And because they went and preached everywhere, here we are over 2,000 years later, still receiving the benefit. So I just want to encourage you this Resurrection Sunday morning to just keep on believing. Yes, the resurrection of Jesus Christ was about Jesus winning our salvation. It was about him overcoming death, hell, and Satan. It was about him winning the victory. It was about all of that. But at the core of even all of that, the resurrection of Jesus Christ was about him shaping what we believe. Jesus died and rose from the dead to save us from the penalty of sin. To be saved, we simply need to believe in Jesus. It's not about what we need to do, it's about what we need to believe first. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whosoever believes in him is not condemned. But whosoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Believe, believe. And it doesn't just stop there with salvation, but in every aspect of our lives, what we believe sets the course for us. We are made in God's image. He has called us all to do a particular work for a particular season, and there is nothing we cannot accomplish through him. If we stop believing in lies and learn to believe in his word and learn to see ourselves through his eyes. I thank God for the encouraging word that Brother Tyrell gave us earlier. Because if you are going through it right now, just hang on in there, because God allows nothing to happen to us to make us worse off. Everything God allows to happen to us ultimately makes us better off. We just have to believe. Even if it doesn't look like it right now, if God is doing something in you or through you and for you, it will all work out for you. Just believe. And so as I move to my conclusion, despite all the examples the disciples of Jesus had seen before Resurrection Sunday, they were just unable to believe that Jesus had arisen from the dead. But I like what it said in verse 14, where it says that Jesus rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart. What I liked about it is it didn't say that Jesus rebuked them, but that Jesus rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart. When you're in the body of Christ, Jesus is not in the business of rebuking you as his child. He is in the business of rebuking what is not right in his people. And one thing he will rebuke is our unbelief. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38 tells it this way: "Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition," which is the opposite of salvation, "but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." So the question this morning for you, for me, is what do you believe? Because if you do not believe, today is the day that you can believe. And I don't know about you, but I believe. I believe Jesus. I believe his word. I believe the word of those he has indeed sent. I believe that since the fall in the Garden of Eden, that every single person is born in sin and has sinned. I believe that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I believe that when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons. I believe that he appointed men and women to travel with him, and that for over 3 years, Jesus went around doing good and healing everyone who was oppressed by the devil. And I believe that when he came to Jerusalem that week between Palm Sunday and Resurrection Sunday, that he was wounded for our transgressions, that he was bruised for our iniquities. I believe that the chastisement for our peace was upon him. And I believe that by his stripes, we are healed. I believe that for our sake, Jesus was crucified, that he died and was buried. And I believe that he rose from the dead on the third day in accordance with the Old Testament, that he might establish a New Testament. I believe that after 40 days, he ascended into heaven and is now seated at the right hand of the Father as the intercessor that we all need, the intercessor for all that believe in him. And I believe that I can and we can do all things through Jesus Christ, who gives his strength. I believe that we seek first, that if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all we will need will be added to us. I believe that whatever I wish that others would do to me, that I should do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets and what we generally refer to as the golden rule. I believe that we should all be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. And I believe that the Father has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed, and that man is Jesus Christ. And I believe that no one knows the day of the return of Jesus Christ, but I believe that day will come. And I believe that that is the day that the world will be judged. Those who are unsaved will spend eternity in hell, a real place with an entrance and no exit, a place of torment where there will only be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I believe that. And I believe that that is the day that all who have believed in Jesus in their hearts and confess with their mouths that Jesus is Lord will be gathered and separated from this world to life eternal. I believe that place is called heaven, and that every single one of those people will enter into heaven, escorted in by the Lord Jesus himself. So brothers and sisters, I was not there that Resurrection Sunday thousands of years ago, but I believe that he rose from the dead. And I believe that anyone can be blessed if you would just believe, because as Jesus told the disciple Thomas on that same day, blessed are those who have not seen yet have believed. So let's just believe. May God bless you and keep you on this Resurrection Sunday. And may God bless the preaching and teaching of his word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you for this day. God, we thank you for who you are and how you've loved us so. And God, we just ask you, Lord, to help us to believe. Lord God, that it's not just limited to salvation and salvation alone, but to believe you in every aspect of our lives. To believe that you can make a way out of no way, that you can provide for us, that you will protect us, that you will lead us and guide us, Lord. Help us, Lord God, to have an ever-growing dependence on you, a dependence, Lord God, on your ability and not our ability. We thank you, Lord God, that we can believe in you. Your credit is good. You are able, Lord God, to perform what you said you will perform, and we believe that. So we thank you, Lord God. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.